A decade ago, a federal judge lifted a court order that compelled Chicago Public Schools to integrate by race. But school leaders said diversity was important. So they continued spending $50 million a year to help integrate the city's elite magnet and test-in schools. Yet as those schools have become less diverse, it's raising questions about why they still exist. WBEZ's Sarah Karp reports.
It's a Thursday afternoon, and Cynthia Ramirez peers down the narrow street watching for the big yellow school buses to come rumbling down it. I meet her in front of Pierce Elementary School in Andersonville on the north side.
18.
We got it, Newberry, Decatur, Interamerica, Bell, Conley, Bellevue, Lane Tech, Taft, Whitney Young. Oh my God, it's hard for me to remember the rest one.
She says it's not up to her to question why so many children take these buses to travel away from Pierce. But she does wonder. She sends her four children to Pierce, and she likes the teachers and the programs.
You know, and we are neighborhood, and we're close. What I can say?
Pierce is one of many neighborhood schools that also serve as a bus drop-off and pickup spot for the city's impressive network of 80-some selective enrollment and magnet schools. Many of them were created under the desegregation consent decree. That court order compelled the school district to integrate as many schools as possible, considering the white population of the school district was small. Magnet and selective enrollment schools were to be those pockets of integration. They were given extra money and busing to make them attractive. 10 years ago today, a federal judge released the school district from that court order. Since then, these schools have become a little less diverse and a little less poor. And a WBEZ analysis shows a lot of students are being bused to magnet and selective schools that are racially similar to their neighborhood school. So some students are going from all-black neighborhood schools to all-black magnet schools. This begs the question, why exactly does the school district continue to have magnet and selective enrollment schools if they're not really all that integrated?
In some respects, it still does serve a purpose of having students be able to access schools for more diversity, but I wouldn't say that that alone is the goal.
LaTanya McDade is the Chief Education Officer for Chicago Public Schools. She says the school district has changed a lot in the past decade, and so too has the point of these schools. She says the main goal of magnet and selective enrollment schools now is to simply give parents another choice in a school district that really values choice.
Sometimes, you know, even when you have a really strong neighborhood program, it may not be offering something that a magnet or selective school may be offering that the parent may be seeking out.
But some see the current magnet and selective enrollment system as just continuing a long-standing system of haves and have-nots. Outside of special education students, magnet and selective enrollment elementary school students are the only ones to get busing. In addition, these schools also get extra money for positions, above and beyond what other schools get. Nikita Breer leads an organization called Chicago United for Equity. In some cases, she says it feels like magnet and selective enrollment schools
become these little havens of white people feeling like they are participating in the public school system while actually keeping their children segregated from the impacts of a local neighborhood school that has the same resourcing that every other child in their neighborhood gets.
She served on Mayor Lori Lightfoot's transition team, and she says in surveys, lots of people identified the disparity between neighborhood schools and magnet and test-in schools as a top concern.
It is one of the core ways in which we see in our everyday lives racial injustice playing out.
McDade argues magnet and selective enrollment schools are not as advantaged as they once were. Over the past decade, dozens of neighborhood schools have been given special programs, such as International Baccalaureate in Fine Arts, and those schools get extra money to support them. At Pierce Elementary, that school in Andersonville where all these buses come through, I talked to Ann Socha, who arrives right before her daughter comes darting off a bus.
Are we going to be on the radio?
You know what? I'll let your mom know, okay?
Okay.
Great.
Her daughter goes to the regional gifted program at Coonley Elementary in North Center. Socha, who's white, decided to send her daughter to Coonley because of the accelerated program and all the extra stuff it offered. Coonley gets $200,000 for its gifted program.
They have
art, they have drama, they have a library, they have a school nurse, they have dance class, they have Spanish. What else?
Gym.
They have gym. They have gym.
These days, most of Coonley's students are white and more affluent. Meanwhile, Pierce is more diverse. 40% white, 40% Latino, 10% black, and 7% Asian. It's also half poor.
That was one thing that I liked about Pierce. When I checked out the school, it seemed like it was very even. I feel like Coonley could be a bit more diverse.
Part of what's happening is these test-in and magnet schools have become so popular, they're drawing lots more applicants from their neighborhoods, and so are shifting to look more like them. And they're no longer using racial quotas for admissions. After the court order was lifted, the school district started using socioeconomic status as determined by a student's address. Ramona Acala says she's worried about what this trend will mean for her son's school. I meet her at Inter-American Magnet School. Its hallways are filled with colorful murals and mosaics celebrating Latin American culture. For a long time, it was the only school in Chicago offering dual language. In dual language schools, students are taught in English and, in Inter-American's case, Spanish. The school has always been popular with Latino families like hers, who want to make sure their children can read, write, and speak Spanish. But now,
dual language programs are seen as viable, high academic programs, right? By not just Latinos, but by a lot of other folks.
She says the preschool now has way more white students than the upper grades. And she says the policies that are letting this happen are disheartening.
You can't look at them and say they're not clearly benefiting white middle class families. And so, like I said, should we continue the programs? I think we should revisit the policy to make sure that we continue to have equitable access to them across the city.
Finally, I go to an elementary school in South Shore. There, most parents who are black wait in their cars for their children to emerge from one of the 13 yellow school buses. According to the school district, a lot of neighborhood schools are actually very good. They earn the highest rating the school district gives. But many here aren't buying it. I find Eddie Johnson sitting in his black sedan with leather seats, waiting for his son to arrive from Leonard Elementary. It's a small gifted school in Chatham, also on the south side. He says the core reason he's sending his son to Leonard is that he thinks it offers a better education. If his son hadn't gotten into the school, he likely would have considered moving.
My wife and I, we both have college degrees. We're professionals, and his safety and his education is most significant to us.
And that's the elephant in the room with magnet and selective enrollment schools. On one hand, they keep middle-class families in the city. But on the other hand, this system of winners and losers may be driving out those who don't get chosen. Sarah Karp, WBZ News.